Some big college football games coming up this weekend, and we are talking today and upon further review with Stephen Igo, who covers East Carolina sports and recruiting for Hoist the Colors, is with us right now. It's 24/7 Sports Network. Stephen, how are we doing today?
Doing good. Getting ready for a big game in Greenville, North Carolina, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. So it's been a while since the Pirates have played a home game this meaningful in November in conference play. So a lot of buzz around town already.
Yeah, let's talk about first how we kind of, you know, got here when it comes to, you know, this being a big game, a huge game for you. I guess tell me a little bit about just the season as a whole, kind of the success that East Carolina has seen this year and, you know, what's behind it.
Yeah, you really go back to midway through the 2024 campaign. The Pirates are struggling. They lost big at rival Charlotte and then lost big at Army, and they fired Mike Houston, and they turned to interim coach Blake Carroll at that time. Nobody really thought he would be a candidate for the job, but he went 5-1 down the stretch of last season. This year, obviously, they've continued those winning ways. Since he became the head coach, he's 11-4, and he's really just turned the program around. You know, he's been there since 2020 as the defensive coordinator, so it's not like Pirate fans were unfamiliar with him, but he's found such a blend between, you know, letting the players have fun, but also being serious when needed, and they've just found the formula. They've gotten the offense going with Caden Hauser, second-year offensive coordinator John David Baker as well, and the defense has exceeded expectations. And you know, they started the year with a big game against rival NC State, dropped that one by a touchdown. They also lost a tough one early to BYU that was closer than the score indicated, and then Tulane as well. So they've played three big teams, and they've competed in all of those games. Honestly, could have won any of them, and they just haven't been able to win them, but they've taken care of business in the rest. You know, they crushed Temple. They crushed what's turned out to be a good Coastal team on the road. They've taken care of business, you know, against Army. And so I think this is the week we'll finally see, all right, another big game, so to speak. Can they kind of take that next step as a program?
Yeah, you mentioned Caden Hauser and the way that he has, you know, played this year. Certainly 2,469 yards, 14 touchdowns, 5 picks, and has really, you know, spread the ball around too. He's got a, you know, he's got a couple of favorite receivers there, but, you know, you've got 5 guys at 200-plus receiving yards. So I guess could you speak to the luxury of that? And then also you combine that with a pretty solid run game too.
Yeah, it's one of those things with the offense, you know, it's kind of like the what they're running at Ole Miss now, RPO heavy, you know, some Briles type stuff, but also some Kiffin type stuff. So they, you know, it really goes when they're running the football, but they can pass the ball. It's very RPO heavy, so that it's relying upon, all right, if you're going to take this away as a defense, we're going to attack you here. So it's a lot of it is based on what the defense is doing. And so sometimes they'll focus on Anthony Smith, who's, you know, one of their leading receivers. That leads to ECU throwing to Yannick Smith, more of a possession but 50-50 ball type receiver, whereas Anthony's a burner down the field. They also have got a good slot receiver in Brock Spaulding. They've got two good tight ends in Desirio Riles and Javonte Connor. So they feel like they've got all the weapons in the pass game. The running game has really picked up the last 3-4 games. They've run for well over 200 yards on average. They ran for 358 yards at Temple, which is unheard of for a spread team at times. So they can run the ball, they can pass the ball. A lot of it just depends on what you're giving them. And then, you know, that goes back to Caden being a second-year guy in John David Baker's offense. He has such a command of the offense right now. No matter what look he's given, he's more than likely making the right read, whether it's handing it off, whether it's throwing it, and he's in complete command right now, and he's a big reason why the offense is doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at the AAC standings right now, this home game with Memphis on Saturday couldn't be any bigger. Certainly Memphis losing to Tulane has them, you know, backs up against the wall, can't lose another one. And then when it comes to, you know, East Carolina on their side of things right now, there's 5 teams in the league with 1 loss. So I guess, you know, speak to that a little bit and, you know, the size and implications of this game on both sides.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I kind of hate, and I think a lot of people around East Carolina kind of hate, that Memphis lost against Tulane. First off, Tulane's already got the head-to-head over ECU, so ECU wanted really Memphis to win that game, and then that would set up, you know, 2 1-loss teams in Memphis and ECU with a ton to play for. I think right now ECU probably has a little bit more to play for, but Memphis has a path as well if they were to win Saturday. So it's one of those things. I'm interested to see, how does Memphis come out? Their quarterback, Brendan Lewis, is a little banged up. They're coming off a tough loss. They're going on the road now. ECU playing at home should be hyped up. You know, what is that balance like in terms of which team is more juiced up to play? You know, the Pirates, they could win out theoretically and still not make the conference championship due to tiebreakers, but if they win out, they'll at least have a viable chance depending on what happens with some of these other one-loss teams. So it's a crazy league right now. I'm not a big fan of the unbalanced schedules. You know, ECU doesn't get the chance to play South Florida, North Texas, or Navy head-to-head this year. So it's like it's kind of unfair for all those teams to not be able to prove themselves one against one another. But that's a problem across college football right now. But plenty of intrigue either way, and the Pirates are just hopeful of getting another win and keeping this thing interesting for another week.
Again, Stephen Igo covering East Carolina sports and recruiting for Hoist the Colors 24/7 Sports, which is, you know, covers East Carolina sports there. Stephen, when it comes to, you know, Saturday, 3 o'clock, Memphis, East Carolina, what are the biggest matchup keys do you see? What are some of the most important aspects of the game from either side, I guess?
Yeah, Memphis is the best red zone team in the conference in terms of scoring touchdowns. They run the ball really well. And ECU is the best red zone defense in the conference. So they don't allow a lot of touchdowns in the red zone, and they have probably the best run defense in the league. So you got strength on strength there. Who comes out in that category? ECU, conversely, was very bad in red zone offense earlier this year, and lately they've been great. So will they be able to score touchdowns there? And then also, I'm keeping an eye on the quarterback situation for Memphis. Brendan Lewis clearly was not 100% against Tulane, dealing with some sort of ankle injury, could not really move in the pocket, and he's such a dual-threat guy. Is he going to play for Memphis? If he does ECU come after him? And then how does that unfold as the game goes on? Because I think ECU, it can be in a very aggressive-style defense. If they see Lewis back there, maybe they send some pressure because they know he's more than likely not going to be able to escape it on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Right now, looking at the line, I think it opened at 2.5. It's even up to 3 in some spots that I'm looking at right now. When it comes to Saturday, how do you see it playing out?
You know, I think for me, this is a game, ECU, it feels like they're ready to take the next step. You know, a few weeks ago after losing to Tulane in October, it was a letdown, but a lot of people are saying, all right, let's just win every game up until Memphis, and that sets up another big opportunity within the conference. Well, the Pirates since then have done just that. They took care of Tulsa. They took care of Temple on the road in kind of a statement game, 45-14 win, which at the time was a matchup of 2 1-loss teams in the league. And then they took care of in-state foe Charlotte this weekend. And it feels like maybe they weren't quite ready for the moment against BYU earlier this year in a big home spot. Maybe they weren't quite ready for the moment against Tulane earlier this year on the road. You know, this is a big statement game for ECU. So I think they're going to be ready. I think they're going to be motivated, maybe learn from their previous mistakes. Memphis, I think, has just as much, if not more, talent than ECU, given their NIL expenditures and their budget. So it wouldn't shock me if they're motivated and they play well, if they win the game. But I have a feeling the Pirates play well and have a good shot to win Saturday.
Looking forward to it, Stephen Igo. 3 p.m. Central Time there, ESPNU, East Carolina hosting Memphis on Saturday. Stephen, thanks a lot for the time, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Thank you, guys.